This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Not here right now, he's still at work, so I'm gonna bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm gonna see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Even though you are, of course, this generation's Pete Axthelm, I don't know that you'll know the answer to this question. I think maybe you won't. Can I bet the draft in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not one who's ever thought about traveling to make wagers.
Never thought about it?
No, never once.
I did it.
Remember that? I'm aware. I'm not judging you by saying that. I'm just saying it's not something I'm so eager to do that I'm going to get in my car and drive 90 miles.
What was it? Like Pennsylvania got there first? The Sunday night opener was Cowboys-Rams, and it was, my friend DJ was consulting me on this, like you had a $500, you only get to sign up for these things once. Then right. You just hear for the rest of your life about if you sign up, you get this bonus offer, but.
Don't I know it.
Yeah, right. Who's out there where it's not your voice ringing in their head when they think about this, but the Sunday night opener was Cowboys-Rams. This is like maybe 4 years ago. And Pennsylvania had, you know, apps where you could bet, and we didn't. So I drove across the state line, went to like a Chili's or something, a Friday's, someplace like that. It would have been a Friday morning, right after 11 o'clock or something. I'm trying to, you know, get the, places would be, I didn't need a restaurant, but places would be, something with Wi-Fi.
That would help, yeah.
Places would be open. And I'd still be able to get here on time. And I decided to make the under in that game my $500
free bet.
Okay. Quote, free bet.
Right.
If you lose, then you just get another one. But you lose that, that's it. You're done.
Right. But if you hit that one, you get $500 in free bets or something like that, probably.
Or money.
Oh, wow.
And it won comfortably, that bet.
Money.
But I had to go to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And today we have Evan Silva from Establish the Run. It's one of my favorite conversations of the year. Hopefully we'll be able to hear him because sometimes he's in his car and he's already texted us to say, like, I'm traveling. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. But it is one of my favorite conversations of the year. One of, in my opinion, I think this is probably right, his most popular podcasts of the year are the ones before the draft. Today, ETR, Establish the Run, posted one with Evan, Adam Levitan, his usual co-host, the two co-founders of the site, and Anthony Amico talking about prop bets. And I've gotten through half of it or so for today. But I want to know if
prop bets, like, for the draft.
For the draft.
Right.
Yeah.
Because which we can't make.
I would totally drive to Pennsylvania. I might even drive to Nebraska to bet the draft this year. I might go quite a Ohio, easily Ohio. Yeah. What else is out there? West Virginia. I don't know if I'm doing. I just did that. I'm not up for West Virginia.
If you can do what you got to do in Pennsylvania, why do you want to even go to Ohio?
Well, I don't know if I can do what I want to do in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see.
Who hasn't asked themselves that question?
This is going to be like that vacation I took back in the mid-90s when I drove south until it was warm enough to golf, and I ended up having to go to Myrtle Beach.
Yes, I love that story.
You're just going to go until you can bet on the draft.
Yeah, that's my golf course. Right. Draft wagering being legal and possible is my golf course. Right. But listening to these guys, like every team, odds on position of the first player they take, every big player, you know, what number pick are they? Every pick number, who is it? Not every in every case, but it's like that. And I would love to do some of that. I want to do some of that.
Well, you got ground to make up because I think I'm going to win our bet, our draft bet.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I guess I don't have to. But, you know, the Bills can still do whatever they want, I suppose.
Oh, okay, well, in the spirit of all this, our bet is, I bet with you when? Was it even February, this bet? That the Bills would go defense first. I very keenly got the specialists included on my side of the bet.
Yeah,
the punter and the kicker.
Smith could be helpful.
That really could come down to that.
Yeah.
Now, what is my best chance of winning? Like, if they don't trade. If they trade up, they're not drafting Chop Robinson.
Right, that's right.
Like, if they trade up, they're drafting Brian Thomas.
100%.
Right?
There's not a defender.
Or better.
Well, I mean, whatever. They've done. Who knows what they'll do? We've been very surprised before. Other years, we haven't been that surprised, right? Last year, I would say, was kind of surprising, both the player and even the position. But the year before that, corner. Brandon Bean even said after the draft, I kept hearing about how I needed a corner. You drafted a corner. It hasn't hit yet, but still.
Wait, that was our fault?
Yeah, right. So I wouldn't expect at all. It would be, to me, a huge upset if they traded up and drafted defense, like some corner or something. That would be stunning. I wouldn't rule it out, but I just think that's a real long shot.
I would rule it out.
But if they stay put, where's a scenario where they go defense? It's they stay put, and it just does not fall the way they were hoping. Somebody that they didn't see coming swoops in and gets the one guy they thought they'd be able to get at 28 without moving, and they're okay. What's the plan if what happened just happened? Well, maybe that is Chop Robinson or some other defender. But I think that's it. I think even if they trade out of there, it will be because they like the pool of receivers enough even behind them to think they can do what they want to do with, you know, a high second that they maybe get in a trade to move down. I think the only hope you have is they stay put, they can't find a trade partner, and the receivers just don't fall like they want. So they go, okay, we'll just take a defender and we'll take a receiver later.
I agree. Of the three scenarios, trade up, trade down, stay put, almost the only one where I think, where the most likely one, I'll have to just settle for that, where they draft defense is if they don't make a trade, and they have often made trades, like a lot of teams. I also don't know that, like, this isn't really the same point, but edge, is that a position, at 28, is that a position where, it's not the same point, I regret already bringing this up, where other teams want to move into your spot. I think offensive line sounds like that position where it's a different bet altogether. But if the Bills were to trade down, I might want to guess that the team trading with them is drafting a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a wide receiver, but then why wouldn't the Bills just take them? You know, like that. That is not necessarily likely, but
It could be that, like I said, they don't like the guys that are left, and so somebody else behind them does and says, all right, I'll come get whoever, A.D. Mitchell. Like, maybe A.D. Mitchell isn't on the Bills' board because he takes plays off, and they're just like, forget this guy, and some team at 35 or something is like drooling, I love A.D. Mitchell. But, the chances of that, I mean, I don't know. We're really down in the weeds on this singular point here right now, but I would agree. I think tackle, with as rich as the first round is expected to be for tackles, it's conceivable that, you know, one could get down there, and the Bills aren't in that market either. And again, this is a scenario where the receiver choices aren't good for them. And so who's calling? Maybe somebody looking for offensive tackle.
If you are hoping to get a good offer to trade out, which I kind of want to say is always going to be there, but I don't know that, then offensive tackle seems like, okay, you want to, if you're watching the draft, what's best for the Bills with these other picks, even when you're so far away, that I think could be one scenario where one of those tackles falls. There are several of these players, but it is commonly said that there's a pretty shallow group of, you know, it's like first rounders, it's rich, okay, and then after that, it's not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then quarterback, too. Like, if Nix and Penix don't go in the middle of the first round, you could wonder if, all right, the Raiders passed, the Broncos passed, but they're not willing to wait until Friday. Mm-hmm. So they want to move up to the end of the first round, fifth-year option, and get to those players there. So, you know, that's another scenario where if the Bills were hoping, or at least open to trading down, they could be able to do it. I think they should always be able to do it. Is there a draft bet? And this is kind of a wide open question, but is there a draft bet you would make? Prices notwithstanding, I mean, I'm not showing you odds or anything, but whatever it might be. I mean, I'm not asking you if the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams.
Right.
But 2-3, the Bills pick. I mean, you've already made a bet on that sort of with me. Number of receivers is one of the prop bets. 6.5, which, man, can you see 7 wide receivers going in the first round? Who the first running back is. The last two, these are topics that on Evan's Establish the Run podcast, they did debate.
If I could find, I would think the Bills, okay, I really don't know how betting on the draft works online because I live here and I've never traveled to Pennsylvania or Ohio or West Virginia or Nebraska. Did I leave any states out that have already come up during this segment? So I don't know, but like,
I would imagine
matching the Bills with Brian Thomas Jr. because they pick so late and he's thought to be like a mid-round prospect. That would probably be pretty decent odds, and that's the kind of bet I like. So, you know, if that's significant plus money, but because it requires a trade and it's so speculative, you know, that player has to fall far enough for the Bills to feel like it's a good enough idea to go up and get him. And so you need some things to sort of fall into place for you. But I would bet that just because the odds are probably good, and you know, because I would have to say it's considered a long shot. They don't have the assets right now to just pick the player without doing something. They got to find somebody to dance with. So there's stuff that would need to happen, but I would throw $10 on that probably. If the number were as appealing as I'm guessing it would be. Like, that's a bet I would make.
I want to run through the receivers, some of them. We're hearing about visits. Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman today. There it is. My first draft crush of the season was Keon Coleman.
Which was, you know, like a lot of people in their lives, pretty short.
Yes, it was.
Your first crush?
Well, it was really from like October until February when we really, you know, these guys got put up on the lift and everybody started doing the work on them. And that's when it started to come to like, it's really contested catch and circus catches. The highlights are great, but the play in, play out, route in, route out, maybe not so great. Need some refinement, project, things like that. I went, no thanks. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's got as much right to be in pick there as any of these other guys we've talked about, I suppose.
Well, I think in terms of receivers, there are two different attitudes about this, two different draft sort of philosophies, which would be, you know, we've talked a lot about several of these players. You're talking about Coleman. There are going to be people, you know, lovers and haters, if you will, like on each of these players. But If you're more like me, where you're just sort of, I have no idea which one is going to be the good one. They're just, I want to not reach. I want to know what consensus is. I want to know what the group thinks about the right value is for these picks. And, you know, I want to give some, pay some heed to scheme and skill set. You know, most of these guys are fast. Some of them are big. You know, I want to not ignore that, but I want to most of all appreciate that I'm not going to know the answer. I'm not going to be able to figure it out. That's why I'm not going to trade up, because I think trading up is pretty stupid, actually, because it implies, in most situations, it implies that you know who the good player is going to be. Like, okay, they traded up for Kincaid. You know, he might be good. Laporta might be better. He had a better rookie year. Michael Mayer, you know, they had to have Kincaid. The year before, they had to have Elam. So they traded up, trading, you know, mid-round picks to make sure they get the guy that they think they know is going to be the best. And to me, that's just, like, weird. To be nice, it's just weird. So I don't want to do that, which leaves me here when it comes to receivers, Bulldog. Like, you know, tell me which one it is, right? Like, there are maybe 8 receivers that I could listen to at pick 28. Brian Thomas included, like he falls mm-hmm. by most mock drafts if he's available at 28. I think Mel Kiper has Brian Thomas at pick 28. So maybe mm-hmm. all the way to
Xavier Leggett.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, he's
Pearsall.
Right.
Xavier Worthy.
Worthy,
McConkey, Coleman, Franklin. It's more than 8.
Yeah.
Where I might, of course the Bills are doing their homework. They're going to make an informed choice if they're picking there. But it could be at least that many mm-hmm. receivers. And I think my overriding is going to be, well, okay, just don't trade up. Don't give picks away to do it, right? So what about you here? Like, I'm not trying to set you up, but Brian Thomas Jr., not even knowing what pick it is, because maybe it's more likely that you'd have to move up 10 spots to get Brian mm-hmm, Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. How would you feel? Good.
I'd feel good about that. Yeah. Yeah. There is nothing. I mean, I realize he's in this same pot with, I think, Adonai Mitchell, right? With yards per route run or whatever the metric is that you've mentioned. I think that's the one that it's kind of like it doesn't quite add up. And there's maybe a warning sign there that other guys who have been bad in that metric have crashed and burned. They did not, you know, they busted. But with that said, there's no stop sign up for him with me and the Bills or me. Adonai Mitchell, I'm a little worried about the taking plays off in large part because it seems like a thing the Bills would really hate. So I'm sort of thinking they won't take him. But it bothers me too. I'm intrigued by him, but I'm a little scared because I you know, anybody who just tries to explain away why they don't try all the time, that's a very bad place to start your pro career. You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's been exaggerated. A lot of stuff does get talked like over and above what it needs to be talked about. It becomes more important and maybe more penal than it needs to be. Either way, he kind of freaks me out. McConkey, I think I'm good with. I'm a little worried about whether he can do all the things he did, be as versatile as he was in college in the NFL, but he might just be one of these guys that just gets open. And he seems fast enough, so I ball in his hands. I think he can make some things happen. So I'm into him. I've told you before, I love Leggett. I don't know if all these guys belong at 28 or, you know, belong on Saturday even. I like Jahvon Baker, but I don't think there's any way he gets picked on Thursday.
But, like, if it's somebody, if it's Leggett, for example, what maybe would reaction sound like? Wow. It would be, I know you need a wide receiver, but couldn't that have waited? And, you know, Brandon Bean would get that question
mm-hmm.
and he would probably say, didn't want to risk it. He was X on our board. Like they always say something right. like that, which you don't even need to say because why would you pick a guy that isn't high on your board? So we assume that. We already, that's a given.
Right.
But they always say it. And then, yeah, well, our next pick was pick 60, and we just felt strongly. And you would listen to that.
I would listen to that. I like this player. I think this player's got like A.J. Brown potential. The biggest red flag with him is that it took him until last year to finally pop. And I get why that is a question. You know, you'd rather see someone be, you know, more productive and see like an arc to their career. And he was really flatline nothing and then boom. But the story is believable that he first of all, was behind good players and just couldn't crack in and realized he needed to work more and put in extraordinary work between, the, you know, before last season started. And there's the fruit for it. And now he's a highly touted prospect. I can buy that. So I like the body type. I like the skill set. I like the run after catch. It all fits for me. They probably in some circles would be accused of reaching if they picked him at 28 because there isn't a consensus on him being there. This is where I'll mention again that Joe Marino, who's a regular, he's the morning show's Chris Trapasso. He's on weekly in draft season with them. He's got him as his wide receiver 4.
Oof.
So, like, that's, you know, I've trusted Joe before. I mean, it's not locked. You know, I'm not just following him blindly, but, like, that's interesting to me that someone who does this like Chris Trapasso does it is going, yeah, man, he's there for me.
There's two things I don't like. One, perhaps more seriously than you, I just think the fact that you have one good year.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Is a red flag like that. I want, it's almost the same point. The older they are historically, the less likely they are to be good. The older the, it's a little bit counterintuitive. Oh, experience. Actually, when it comes to college, when it comes to the draft, you want the younger guys. You want the guys, because if we're talking about players drafted around the same time, those players produced, but they did it at a younger age. There's more to buy into there. Mm-hmm. And so it is almost the same point. But Leggett is 24 in January. Like it'll be an age 23 season for him. I don't want to,
right,
you know, distort it. But to me, like, and there's a couple of guys like that in here. That's a concern. It's not even the right word. It's a strike against. Mm-hmm. It's a strike against.
Sure.
I'd rather have, like, Olave was this a couple years ago where he was young, I think. And I feel like he's somebody we talked about in this context. Younger is better. I've got a better chance. I'm into historical trends. What are the best statistics? It's more analytics, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. not tape. It's what are the best traits? You know, you have the RAS score, the athletic score, you have age and college experience. Leggett is one of these guys that the COVID year, maybe, like, he's not even drafted without the COVID year because he gets an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. They gave guys an extra year of eligibility, and before last year, I don't know.
He didn't exist.
He didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So that should mean something, I think. Not to say that he can't look great on film. That's right. What probably Joe Marino is doing is grinding film, right?
Sure.
So, and he knows a lot. Players born on Grand Island, so you have to assume the guy's
credible. Well, yeah, the age is to me is a ding. Because there's a couple things there. Like, you know, most obviously, he's going to be older sooner. So that's not great. Like, if you're looking at a guy you want to be married to for a long time, you'd rather have him be 21 than 23 when you draft him. I get that. So by the time you're getting him his second contract, Zach made this point last week at one point, he's 28, 29 when you're talking about a second contract already. Like, whoa, that's a little, you know, I don't feel great about that. So, you know, that I understand that. And it also, this age part of it, you might be inclined to just, without studying the player and his traits and his growth, go, is this his ceiling now? It took him 4 years of college to figure out how to play in college, and like, is this it? Or, and if this is it, is this good enough to come in and be eventually my number one wide receiver? Or does that require more growth that maybe you're skeptical about this player having in him because of his age and how long it's taken already? Like, has it taken him this long to get to, here's the finish line, this is it for you? And that can be a little scary.
803-0550, please feel free to join us on the draft as we go round and round again on these players. What should happen? What will happen? Plan is for Evan Silva, establish the run at 4. I mean, a great guest to get when we're talking about this subject. Brian Koziol will join us late in the show to mostly recap. It's not going to be over yet, but the second day, the first two rounds of the Masters. Brian will host Tee to Green tomorrow morning. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lines open now. This is WGR.
Brian Thomas Jr., I looked at Sam in a lot of ways and went, man, I feel like I'm watching an A.J. Brownish type of guy. It's not an extensive route tree, a lot like A.J. Brown at Ole Miss and all that. You don't get to see it all. But, man, I just really like the physical tools I thought that he brought to the table. You know, I think what he does after the catch is kind of special that way, let alone like, hey, I'm big on like, let's first start it out where let's just line you up here and let's see if you can get open against people all day long. And that, to me, is where he shines.
Chris Sims on Brian Thomas Jr. Well, then, where was the production? If he's that good, this is not anything new. Receivers, I don't know why Dawson Knox has to be the guy I think of, because it's like Dawson Knox versus an elite athlete at wide receiver from a top program.
It caught 17 touchdowns last year, I think.
Led the nation, maybe?
Yeah.
So, that's another reason. That's another strike against for me. But
some production right there.
Yeah, but yards per route run is so puny. Guys that are that good are undeniable. I don't know what A.J. Brown's yards per route run were, but they're just undeniable. And this guy might go top 15 picks. And I just think that's nuts. Like, I would not. I have no interest in Brian Thomas Jr. or A.D. Mitchell, really. I like the idea of Worthy more. Because, like, the speed, I mean, I got to pick somebody. And the 4.2, Thomas actually, I heard Evan Silva, who we'll talk to on this, he called it the flying 20, which I'd never heard of before. But the last 20 yards of your 40, Thomas outran Worthy in the last 20 yards of that. Like, you know, we're separating the whole thing from once you get going.
Sure, yep.
I just wouldn't. I think it's just too close that one or more of the receivers that'll go on Friday are going to be just as good or better. So I would not do it. But I think I'm in the minority. We all want somebody. We all want one of them.
Yeah.
I think McConkey likely has a better career. You know, who knows landing spots?
Yeah.
And maybe a few others than Thomas.
What can be a little, well, it can be a fun experiment to try on yourself, although you might almost always spit out the same answer, right? What's Kansas City going to do? Right, they're 4 picks behind you, and okay, they probably are looking for a receiver too. I mean, they've got Rashee Rice, but you know he probably isn't going to do jail time. He'll probably play a full season with this leaving the scene of an accident, street racing nonsense.
Rice
that he got wrapped up in. Yeah.
Did you see the details today?
I didn't see details today.
119 miles per hour.
Oh boy.
At least 7 people injured, including a 3-year-old, reportedly. It's getting worse for him.
Okay. Last I saw, I didn't know there were new details today. I saw Drew Davenport talking about it. He's kind of a go-to for legal stuff with players, and said, like, you know, this sounds bad, but I'm still thinking it'll get pled down to misdemeanors and no jail time and whatever. But that was before I heard about these details. Anyways, the Chiefs are looking for a guy too. We think maybe, right? So What if they draft Ladd McConkey? Like, oh, no. Right? I got to keep Ladd McConkey away. I can't keep all these guys away from the Chiefs. But the when for some reason, when I think of a guy on the Chiefs, then I think, oh, maybe I should like that guy. Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy in the draft, or the fastest receiver in the draft anyways. Like, if he ends up on the Chiefs, this is Tyreek Hill 2.0. Maybe I should have Tyreek Hill 2.0. Like, I need that. I've wanted speed since Tyreek Hill ran all over the Bills 4 years ago in the playoffs. I've been wanting more speed. Maybe I should like Xavier Worthy for the Bills. Just, you know, whoever the Chiefs might like.
At the same time, you know, you've just seen them win twice anyway. So, should they even care? Like,
right.
It seems, it has before, though. It seems logical that they would want a receiver. People are saying that about them just the same. But they've made it work. So, I don't know. The Rice thing, though, could end up being... Maybe we won't know, I guess, like whether it's it's a difference maker in their strategy.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, they might know more than us already, too, on that front. Even if it's not, could they not use another I mean, what do they have besides? You know, I know they won the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, but you're trying to keep your team going. I might bet the same bet on them taking a receiver as I would the Bills. Like I think it makes sense. It's a deep class, and they, you know, need is weird because, again, as presently constituted, all they've done is won two Super Bowls in a row. But I could see them wanting to add a piece for Mahomes to play with.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would say they should do, but they're tough. It's hard to even talk about, not just because of emotion, but like when you win twice like that. It's the first repeat in 20 years. It's not easy. You win back to back like that. They were statistically one of the worst offensive teams to ever make a Super Bowl. And they did and won it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, to me, like, what would your guess be, whatever they do in the draft, next year, they're probably better. Kelce did not have a great season. Kelce had a great postseason, but he didn't carry them or anything. Right. Like his production was down.
It's another reason why they might be looking for a receiver, because they might feel like at this point they might need to sort of pitch count him so he is good in January when they really want him to be.
That's what happened. Well, I'm not sure that's what happened. Like, did they play him less last year? Maybe they didn't, but they do have two or three other tight ends that they mix in. They signed somebody, too. They signed a veteran tight end.
I don't remember. I believe you, but I don't remember who it was.
I don't either. From the Bengals? I forget. It doesn't matter. But what would your guess be on the Chiefs' offense? It's probably better. I mean, they lost to the Raiders. They couldn't even get a first down in that game against the Raiders. They lost to Denver. 2022 happened after trading Tyreek, and it was the worst. Because what do you even say, right? They just, in your face, right? They just posterized the rest of the league by trading him and winning anyway. And then last year was even a better example of that.
So brazen. The whole league is trying to catch up to the Chiefs. And I just said it a minute ago. I need Tyreek Hill. I need speed. Look at what he's doing to us. They throw that away while the rest of the league is running around paying receivers $30 million. They trade him away and win twice. It's gross. That is so maddening.
Now, the only thing left for them to do this year is trade Mahomes and win again.
Right? Or play with eight guys and Mahomes and still win or something. But yeah, right.
Andy, we noticed that we checked the film and you only had eight players on the field for the majority of this game. Really? I didn't even... Are you sure? I know you won 31-11, but did you realize you were playing three men short? No, I didn't even know. Are you sure you're right about that? I'll have to check. Yeah, like what do you even say anymore about them? Ryan is with us. Hello, Ryan.
Hey guys, love the show. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on Stephon Diggs and how he may have requested a trade. I'm wondering that Curtis Samuel's signing could that have actually tipped the scale for Diggs to request a trade? I remember how you guys mentioned when the signing happened, he tweeted whatever. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, well, I think Diggs definitely requested a trade. I don't know definitively what motivated that request. It would surprise me if the Bills adding another good player, albeit at his position group, to try to help their offense be good was the thing that tipped him over the edge. That would just be weird to me, but, you know, I'm not in his head, so I don't know. But I would doubt that that's what made him request a trade. I think it was something else, deeper-rooted issue, because improving the team so they could have a better shot at winning, I don't think would bother Stephon Diggs, even if it were another receiver, myself.
Would this logic be that Samuel is so good that he would have been moved, or not good?
I think the caller
which is even more likely.
Right, eat into Diggs's, you know, target share or something. Yeah, I don't think that was it.
I can't imagine for a second that that had anything to do with it. But I don't know. Like you said, I don't know. Been distracted. I don't know. Can you tell?
Only now that you just said it.
Been distracted just thinking of random 90s quarterbacks.
Random 90s quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Yeah. I was playing Immaculate Grid.
Okay.
And I started thinking of like Mark Bulger and guys like that. And now I'm just sort of.
Mark Bulger, West Virginia.
When you're talking, I'm sort of. That's right. I believe. I think so. When you're talking, I'm sort of, you know, going over the Heath Shulers and the Mark Bulgers and other random 90s quarterbacks. You're Billy Joe Hoberts.
When you're talking, I'm just watching Max Homa play golf. That's all I'm doing.
My favorite golfer.
He is your favorite golfer?
Yeah, I told you that. I told you that a couple weeks ago because of how well he did at Ryder Cup.
Oh, that's
right. I love
right.
a guy
right. that,
that.
Yep.
The rare American golfer that gets good at becomes better at Ryder Cup, that elevates his game. It doesn't always have to be Sergio Garcia and five Irish guys you'd never heard of before.
Right.
Or 50. Here was like Max Homa from the actual United States doing well at Ryder Cup.
Right.
All right, I'm your fan. I'm in on Max Homa. This is the right guy, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he have a great Ryder Cup?
I don't remember.
I hope I'm right. I had a guy that I decided was my favorite, then I just turned him into someone else. Yeah. I hope that didn't happen.
I hope so, too. I'm not being very helpful here because I'm hung up on not being able to remember the name of the European player that I can't stand watching play but always does well at the Ryder Cup. I know there's lots of them, but there's a guy, he's flashy dresser, like white belts, and I can't think of the sort of spiky hair, visor. I don't have it. It's making me
like
crazy.
Like currently or 20 years ago?
Currently. Pretty current. He's older, but he's still playing in the Ryder Cup. I can't think of the guy.
Stenson?
No, not Stenson. He's just vanilla.
Thomas Bjorn wouldn't be right.
No,
that's too long ago.
No, he's a Scottish, Irish, English, British
one
Isles.
One of those.
One of those.
Paul McGinley? That wouldn't be right.
I mentioned Adam Scott, and it's not him. It's another.
No, he's from Australia.
Okay. Well,
it wouldn't be Adam Scott.
No.
Anyway,
I've never liked Max Homa really at all.
Oh, no.
But I liked his odds, so I love him.
What has he won back?
We're best buds now. Yeah, he's won back. Yeah, he's about to finish up. I think they're playing 18 right now.
I know better than to say a thing like this about a golf tournament that it's still only Friday afternoon, but Koziol is pretty close to like needing Scheffler to win already.
It's not a bad guy to need to win.
No, that's the one guy. It's the right guy.
It's the right guy, but he might be down to him.
He's almost down to Scheffler already, I think.
Yeah.
He has no one else better than one under, Neiman. McIlroy, par, Clark even, Schauffele even. Those guys could get three or four shots back here in the back nine. And I would be wrong about what I just said.
I think the way that I was hearing them talk on the coverage all day was that scoring conditions are not going to be good. The wind is bad. The greens are really drying out. Oh, my God. There's like a dust bowl coming out of a sand trap right now as I'm speaking about the wind. And I think that they were saying this morning while I was watching Homa and Woods and Day finish up their first round, which I think they only got through 13 yesterday. It was like, I think the best score you're going to get today is maybe a 68. This is going to be a tough day out there today.
I don't think I could top that.
I definitely could not
or
pass 68.
Bottom it.
No.
Whatever you'd say there. I don't think I could shoot under 68 today at Augusta. With that wind?
Ian Poulter. Thank you,
Ian Poulter.
Ian
Poulter.
Of course.
Okay.
That's the guy I was
English.
Thinking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to, geographically,
I thought you said blonde. Maybe, did he have a blonde face?
Maybe he had frosted tips on
frosted
the spiky.
Tips.
Like,
who would do that?
He has just always annoyed me. He has always annoyed me.
Oh, yeah, that guy is absolute
nails.
I don't even know
for sure if he's one of those long putter guys,
too.
He's okay, so I don't hold that against him. It's just, I don't know, the hair,
of course,
the visor,
that's
the
name.
Belts. I mean, yeah, he annoys me.
Oh, that guy, though. I mean, just good luck beating him.
Right. He's nails.
Good luck beating him at Ryder Cup, that Ian Poulter. Where is he this week? Is he too old for this? Like the majors now?
I don't know. I've not seen him. That's why I probably wouldn't have had a struggle remembering how much I hate him and remembering his name. I had no trouble remembering I hated him. It was a vague. I hate somebody that wears a visor. Maybe that's.
I know there's somebody I
pretty
hate.
Pretty vague. Who is it? If I'd seen him last 2 days, I would have had it. But I haven't seen him, so I don't believe
he's in the field.
Too bad for him.
Too bad for him. Hey, I got bad news, Ian. You're not in the field at the Masters. You didn't make it. Sorry. All right. Of course, that's the name. Evan Silva coming up. NFL draft in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Bulldog just threw a baseball question at me last second, and I'm thrown. I'm flustered.
That's what that was. Baseball question.
That was a baseball question, yes. Which I often like. When they're easier, I like baseball questions. Brett Boone, we just heard him in a clip. Respectfully, I disagree with him on the Orioles, what he said to us on Wednesday.
Are they ready to do it?
Holy cow. I mean, how many games did they win? It's probably, I shouldn't assume this, but I mean, last year. It's probably like what you do in the postseason to so many players in all sports is like everything. And I just couldn't disagree more. 162 games versus three. It's the three that can define you to people in the sport, to yourself, even as a player, like, you know, trying to get a championship. It's just like, it's so ridiculous to me to think that that could be right. The Orioles had a great year and they lost in the playoffs, like all the teams did but one. But like, I would not rather be Texas than, who barely got in the playoffs last year, by the way. The Orioles were clearly a better team than Texas in the regular season, which is just a lot harder than winning one best of five series or something. So, I mean, I think they proved it. They have so many good young players. This Couser just hit, what did he just do in Boston? Who was Colton Couser? He just had, 10 RBIs in three games or something? Like, you see the home run in the extra innings last night out of the stadium? And they've got...
That's a pretty small stadium. Go ahead.
Right. Kjerstad in the minors, and Mayo, I think, is one guy. Plus you have Westberg in addition to Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, they did
Burns,
not,
the Burns trade.
They don't need a whole bunch of new young guys coming. They just got a whole bunch of new guys that arrived last year and had a great year. And so, yeah, they look really set up. Yeah, I thought that was odd. That, are they ready to do it? Didn't they win 100 games last year?
Yes.
I mean, like that seems
won the division.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
What was the number? I want to find out now. 101. By they won two more than Tampa to win that division, but best record in the American League at least. Yeah, I think they're better this year with Burns, who they did. Like, that's a legit ace on top, Baltimore. Did they not sweep Boston, I think, first home series for the Red Sox? And I think Baltimore took it. Coming up, Evan Silva, back to the draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.